for Justice of the Peace Precinct 7. Amen. Many of you know her mother, the Honorable Zanetta Burney, who served in that seat for many, many years. And Judge Burney was a friend. Tremendous story, tremendous testimony. And this is her daughter. And I know some of y'all in here went to school with her, and y'all can wave at her, elementary school, middle school, high school, all that stuff. And I think my wife is one of her former classmates as well. So we're grateful for her, and we certainly want to make sure that we get out and cast our vote. Powerful testimony today. I want you to hear it as we hear what discipleship means in the life of one of our sisters.
Hi, my name is Nadira Black, and I want to give my I Will testimony. I got invited by Sister Whitney. I was like, God, what do you have in store for me? I took the class, and the class is wonderful. What I learned about I Will is how to give, how to love, and how to share, you know, with different ones, my neighbors and everybody, and tell my neighbors about God. I know you might be struggling in your pain, your sorrows, like me, but God is going to bring you through this. Because you never know when is your last day. But I ask God every day to help me go forward with the I Will and be a big, big part of God's work in Jesus' name.
How many are truly thankful for all that the Lord has done for you? Come on, stand up on your feet and put your hands together. Hallelujah.
Tragedies are commonplace. All kinds of diseases, people are slipping away. The economy's down, people can't get enough pay. But as for me, all I can say, without homes, people out in the streets, and the drug habits some say they just can't beat. Muggers and robbers, no place seem to be safe, but you've been my protection every step of the way, and I wanna say thank you, Lord, for all.
Yeah.
Speak to us now, O Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. Well, this is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but God, your word will forever last. Lord, we are ready for your word. Father, we pray now that everything we do and say will be pleasing in your sight and will bring glory and honor to you. May you be glorified. May your people be edified. May the devil be terrified as the life-changing, life-giving word of God goes forth. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It was at the 2016 Democratic National Convention, former First Lady Michelle Obama stated her now famous catchphrase, "When they go low, we go high." She was discussing how to respond to some of the bullying tactics that were taking place by those who were opposing the presidency or the presidential desires and aspirations of Hillary Clinton. Her motto quickly caught on. Even Clinton herself used it to defend herself against then Republican candidate Donald Trump during their final presidential debate. Michelle Obama told Oprah Winfrey when asked about the phrase, "Going low is easy," which is why people go to it. It's easy to go low. It's easy to lead by fear. It's easy to be divisive. It's easy to make people feel afraid. For me, Michelle Obama went on to say, what I learned from my husband, what I learned from 8 years in the White House, this life, this world, our responsibility in it is so much bigger than us. When I want to go low, it's all about my own ego. It's not about solving anything. It's about seeking revenge on the thing that happened to me. Michelle Obama added that her purpose in life isn't revolving around taking care of her own little ego, but instead to ensure that she is a positive role model for the next generation and is creating positive change. She went on to say something that I thought was very interesting. She says, when you go high, it doesn't mean that you don't feel hurt or have emotions. It means that your response is to reflect the solution. It shouldn't come from a place of anger or vengefulness. Barack and I had to figure that out. Anger may feel good in the moment, but it's not going to move the ball forward. Now, my brothers and sisters, as powerful a statement as that is, and the application of that statement in the political arena, I submit to you, my brothers and sisters, that we have a greater obligation as people of God to reflect this same kind of philosophy of engagement. See, here's the truth of the matter. While most of you in here, and many of you who are watching, will claim to be a Christian, we don't always respond in the most Christ-like manner. And sometimes it's not necessarily how we respond. It's the threat of how we could respond if you keep knocking on that door. Let me see if I can knock on somebody's door today. Don't make me go there. I'm talking about you, Christian. Child of God, somebody got on your last nerve. And he said, no, don't make me go there. There's a side of me you don't want to see. Don't start none and Yeah, okay, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? Don't make me go back to my BC days. That's before Christ. There's a side of me I don't even like. And you're about to make that side come out. Here's the truth of the matter. When somebody challenges you, when somebody gets on your last nerve, when somebody tries to take you to that lowest point possible, how can you respond in a way that brings glory to God? How can you put aside your ego and put aside yourself and actually move in a way that honors God and accomplishes what you want to accomplish? Now, let me give you a very transparent moment. When we had our contract with HISD, and we were an alternative school, and we were taking kids that nobody wanted. School district didn't want them. The alternative school didn't want it. Some of their parents didn't want them. And we were educating those kids. And I can remember, you know, kids were in the building and they cussing and went, "Oh my God, we got so much profanity in here." Well, we're supposed to be a hospital for sick folk. Right? We're going to help these children. And y'all, I made a mistake. I lost sight of what the purpose and goal was for the school. And when we were accused of doing wrong and we were attacked by the then superintendent, Superintendent Greer, and people in his office said, "Nobody's ever made him as angry as you make him, Pastor." And they came after us to revoke our contract so we can no longer serve kids. I wanted to prove that we were right. I wanted to prove that we were doing a good job. I wanted to prove that I knew and our staff knew what they were doing. And instead of humbling myself and appeasing his ego, I wanted him to know that I ain't that Negro. No, I want y'all to hear me. I wanted him to know that he was dealing with an intelligent black man with 3 earned degrees. I wanted him to know that he was dealing with a person who was an educator, who knew the difference between pedagogy and andragogy, who understood learning differentiation, who understood how to disaggregate data. I wanted him to know he was dealing with somebody who knew, and I was so determined, listen, to make sure he knew what he was dealing with and who he was dealing with, that I forgot what the purpose of the school was. And we lost our contract, y'all. Because I wanted to prove who we were. And 5 young men who couldn't go to anybody's school lost their lives within 6 months because our school closed and they had nowhere to go. I want y'all to hear me. He cared more about closing than I cared more about staying open. He cared more about shutting us down because we were making the district look bad, even though we were a partner, than I did about staying open to save these boys' lives. I want y'all to hear me today. That we've got to learn when people go low, we don't have to follow them. Especially when God has a bigger mission for your life. Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought, how to go high when people go low. How to go high when people go low. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. For those of you who are watching wherever you are in the world, you can download our app, the Good Hope app, and download the fill in the blank outline there, or go to our website at goodhope.org. Three things I want you to see today that are coming out of our continued journey in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Now, you remember 2 Samuel chapter 6 follows 2 Samuel chapter 5. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, David is anointed and appointed as the king of Israel. And in 2 Samuel chapter 6, it is his goal to now retrieve the Ark of God and bring it back to Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. It was taken in the Battle of Aphek. It was taken when Hophni and Phinehas was killed, when they believed that if they took the ark in the battle, the ark would save them. And the Bible says the Philistines took it back and put it in the place where their god Dagon was. They took the ark back and they went back the next day, and Dagon had fell over in the midst of the ark of God face down. They set Dagon back up, and the next day they went in and Dagon was lying flat with his arms and legs off of his statue, because God wanted him to know that even in the ark there was power. The Bible says they sent the ark back to Israel. It ended up at Abinadab's house, and it was at Abinadab's house when David went to retrieve it. Remember, David went in warfare with 30,000 troops to retrieve the Ark of God. He went as a warrior, not as a worshiper. He went to be a ruling king, not to be a priest, to retrieve that which represented God. And the Bible says they put it on a cart instead of carrying it, and they went and were on their way back. You remember the oxen stumbled at Nacon's threshing floor, and the Bible says Uzzah reached out to study the ark, and the ark was studied, but because he touched it with his hand, Uzzah died. David learned a valuable lesson. Your intentions don't matter if you don't follow instructions. They failed to follow God's instructions. Remember, the ark stayed at Obed-Edom's house for 90 days, and the Bible says Obed-Edom and his entire household were blessed. And so David figured out at that point that the problem wasn't with the ark. The problem wasn't with God. The problem was with him. Somebody in here today, one of the keys to you changing your life in a powerful way is for you to recognize that in every problem situation you've had, you have been the common denominator. Stop blaming your bosses. Stop blaming your jobs. You done had 5 jobs and you blaming every supervisor. You the only one that worked for all of them companies. And somewhere along the line, you've got to take responsibility for your actions and for your outcomes. You don't have to say amen. You can just say ouch under your breath if you have to. And the Bible says David was angry with God and then afraid of God and came to understand that the problem wasn't God and it wasn't the ark. The problem was him. The second time he goes to get the ark, he doesn't take warriors, he takes worshipers. He doesn't take leaders in the army, he takes Levites with him. And now they're going to move the ark the way God wants it to be. After 6 steps, you remember on the way worship. They didn't wait till they got to Jerusalem. They took 6 steps, and the Bible says they gave God praise on the way. And the Bible says now in our text, they get back to Jerusalem. But something is going on, y'all. Everybody's not happy that David has made it back with the ark. Because the Bible says there's a sister by the name of Michal. I'm going to talk more about her next week. Michal is looking down out the window. And the text says, watch what it says. Verse 16. When she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she was filled with contempt for him. Now, here's what's interesting. The text says this is Michal, the daughter of Saul, when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she was filled with contempt. Verse 20 says, when David returned home to bless his family, Michal came out to meet him in disgust and said, how glorious the king of Israel looked today. She was exercising her gift of sarcasm. He exposed himself to the servant girls like any indecent person might do. Now, here's what the text doesn't tell us. Michal is his wife. The text describes her as the daughter of Saul. The text describes her and says she saw the king. And the Bible says that she was his wife. He doesn't get encouragement from his wife. He gets discouragement. Can I tell you something? Sometimes the people who try to make you go low aren't outside your house, they're inside your house. Sometimes the folk who are trying to take you low are family that are now foes. You thought they were friends, now they turned out to be frenemies. You know what a frenemy is? A frenemy is a friend who's an enemy, and when you have friends like that, you don't need enemies. And David has to respond to this. Dave, I'm getting some kind of echo feedback in the monitors. I'm hearing myself come back. Here's the first thing I want you to see. Because I need you to learn how to focus on the blessings that God has given you, even when you're being attacked by somebody else. How do you make sure that nobody on the outside or the inside distracts you and keeps you from going high and staying high when it's their objective to bring you low? Here's the first thing. Number one, you need to focus on how the Lord is blessing your life. You need to focus on how the Lord is blessing your life. Verse 14, and David danced before the Lord with all his might, wearing a priestly garment. Verse 15, so David and all the people of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and the blowing of ram's horns. Now, when you understand the history of how they got to this place, the failure that they experienced, the tragic death of a young man who thought his intentions were going to value him more than following God's instructions. Here is David now on the other side of all of that hardship and heartache, and he is giving God praise. If he's doing it for no other reason, he is giving God praise because God has given him another chance. Y'all, here's what I've learned in life. Sometimes when you see somebody really giving God praise, you might talk about the intensity of their praise and worship if you're ignorant of how they got to that place. If a person couldn't walk, you might not understand why they run. If a person was down, you might not understand how they can rejoice from simply being up. But the simply being up is in comparison to them being down. Here's all I'm trying to tell somebody in here. Is there anybody in here under the sound of my voice who can give God praise because he gave you another chance? Watch this, y'all. I ain't gonna say second chance because you blew right through that second chance. You went through the second chance when you was asking God to forgive you for the first chance. No, I'm talking about another chance. I'm talking about the grace of God being present in your life, being evident in your life over and over and over again. Somebody in here needs to get excited and watch this. When you get excited about what God is doing, you don't focus on what petty people are trying to do. Some people's opinions just aren't even worth a response. He says, you've got to learn how to focus on the blessings of God in your life. Can I tell y'all a little secret? This is what I've learned personally. When you respond to a demonic distraction, you can't respond to a distraction and stay focused on a divine blessing at the same time. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. And here's the other thing. Let me set somebody free today. If the devil can trick you into feeling like you need to respond to everybody's pettiness and everybody's opinion, you will overvalue the opinions of others and undervalue God's opinion. And instead of focusing on being obedient to God, you will be running around trying to appease other people, some of whom you will never please because they've never learned how to please themselves. You got to focus on how the Lord is blessing your life. I'm talking about when you talk about going high when people go low. Here's the second thing. Number two, you need to focus on blessing the Lord for his goodness in your life. So you not only need to recognize how the Lord is blessing your life, but now you've got to change your focus to blessing the Lord for God's blessings in your life. Because the text says David didn't just dance. He danced before the Lord. They brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and the blowing of ram's horns. Verse 17, David sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. Y'all, to the Lord. He blessed God. He worshiped God. His focus was on God because when he recognized how good God had been to him, he knew it was just a proper response to focus on giving God the worship he deserved. Now, how do you bless God? How do you bless? How do you honor God? How do you worship God in a way that you don't get distracted by the pettiness and the lowness of other people? Look at John 4. 22:23-24. Let's read it together from the New Living Translation. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I want you to do me a favor. Circle the word spirit and circle the word truth. Now write this in on your outline somewhere. In spirit refers to intensity and refers to your attitude in your worship. There ought to be an intensity in your worship, a commitment in your worship of God. It does not necessarily mean that it's going to show up in an ocular demonstration. In other words, folk may not see your intensity, but God ought to feel your intensity. Because your worship, listen carefully, is not an event. Your worship of God is a lifestyle. It's not how you shout and dance on Sunday that shows whether or not you are a worshiper. It's how you live every day of your life that says to God, I am committed to being your child. But then he says, not just in spirit, he says in truth. Draw the arrow. In spirit speaks to intensity. In truth speaks to integrity. In spirit speaks to attitude. In truth speaks to your actions. David shows us that we should be worshipers. Jesus shows us that when we are worshipers, worship is not limited to a place. It has to show up in the person. That's why when he talks to the Samaritan woman, he says, you all think worship should be in this mountain and that mountain. And Jesus says, no, there comes a time when worship is not going to be limited to a place. But it's got to show up in your person. He says, you bless God by worshiping him. And listen, you can't live a life of worshiping God when you are focused on and worrying about what other people say and what other people do. He says, you've got to learn how to focus on how the Lord is blessing you. You got to focus on blessing the Lord for his goodness in your life. Here's the third and final thing. Number three, you need to focus on blessing others to the glory of God. You got to focus on blessing others. I'm blessed by God. I need to bless the Lord. But then watch what David does. All of this is surrounding the attitude of his disgruntled wife. And I'm going to show you next week in the scriptures why she was unhappy. I'm going to show you in the scriptures next week why she was so bitter, why she was so angry, and how it robbed her of her own blessings. Because there's somebody in here, watch this. You getting in a fight with somebody close to you when you're really just in a fight with yourself. I'll talk about that next week. Look at verse 18. When he had finished his sacrifices to the Lord, David blessed the people in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies. Listen, David prayed for the people. He covered the people in believing prayer. And then watch what it says. Then he gave to every Israelite man and woman in the crowd a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins. Then all the people returned to their homes. David blesses the people. He adds value to the people's lives spiritually and physically. He has recognized God has blessed them. He has blessed the Lord in terms of worship, and now he blesses those who are around him. He understands that instead of responding to the pettiness and the smallness of somebody else, he knows that living the way God wants him to live is going to bless God in worship vertically, and is going to bless and encourage other people horizontally. See, David gave people provisions, reminding them of how good God had been. Look at Acts chapter 20, verse 35, as I get ready to take my seat. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. How many people have been blessed by your presence? How many people have been blessed by your possessions? How many people are better because you have been in their presence? See, I need somebody to hear me today. To understand that when you go high, when other people try to take you low, is not just a testament to your relationship with God, but it brings glory to God. Your reaction brings glory to God. And if you're not careful, you will respond in self and ego. And lose sight of the purpose of God for your life. And that's to bring glory to him. So somebody who needs him will know him. And somebody who knows him will grow in him. Make loving God and loving people your priority. When you focus on you, and somebody comes against you, your pride will naturally kick in. You will respond out of self and who you are. But when you focus on blessing God and blessing others and the blessings of God in your life, you won't have time to respond to the pettiness of other people. So when people go low, don't go with them. When they criticize, celebrate. When they complain, give God praise. When they want to hurt you, lift your hands and say thank you. Matter of fact, somebody, Holy Ghost already put them on your mind. They've been working real hard to get you to go low. I want to challenge you, on your way home, stop and get them a thank you card. Get them a thank you card. Put your name on it. Get them a thank you card. And in the card, just write, want to thank you for being you. Now, you talking about messing somebody up. Here they are. They've been trying to get on your last nerve. Here they are. They've been plotting and planning, trying to get you demoted instead of promoted, trying to get your position. Imagine if you gave them a thank you card. And they say, what's this about? Say, I just want to thank you for being you. I want to thank you for helping me be the best me I can be. Matter of fact, somebody in here right now, somebody took you low on Friday. Apologize to them on Monday. They made you go low just this last week. Thank them and apologize to them. And let them know they reminded you that low-level thinking is not where you're supposed to be. When they complain, give them some thanks. See, David stayed high not because everyone approved him, but David stayed high because he stayed focused. He stayed focused on his mission. He stayed focused on his purpose. He stayed focused on what God wanted him to do. He stayed focused on how God had blessed him. He stayed focused on how God could be blessed by him. And he stayed focused on how he could be a blessing to other people. And I got news for you. When you keep your focus right, you can keep your spirit right. You can't control their mood, but you can control your response. You can't keep people from going low, but you can make up in your mind that you don't have to go with them. Because when you focus on how God has been good to you, you don't have time to go low. When you focus on blessing God, you don't have time to be bothered with people. When you focus on blessing others, you rise above the pettiness of other people. So let them talk. Just because they said it doesn't mean you got to respond. Let them roll their eyes. Let them misunderstand whatever you said. But keep praising. Keep thanking. Keep giving God the glory. And keep serving. Go high when people go low. Go high when they criticize you. Go high when they question your character. Go high when they want to misunderstand your motives. Go high when they mock your worship. Go high when they overlook your obedience. Go high when they minimize what God is doing in your life. Go high when they resent the favor of God in your life. Go high when they attack your integrity. Go high when they gossip about your growth. Go high when they try to pull you down into petty disagreements. Go high when they respond in bitterness. Go high when they choose division over devotion. Go high when they want to celebrate your failure. Go high when they refuse to celebrate your success. Because low is easy. Going low is natural. Going low is common. But going high brings glory to God. Going high lifts up the kingdom. Have I got a witness here? So stay high when others go low. Stay high in compassion. Stay high in discipline. Stay high in encouragement. Stay high in endurance. Stay high in your expectations. Stay high in your faith and forgiveness. Stay high in your generosity and gratitude. Stay high in your hope and humility. Stay high in your integrity. Stay high in your joy. Stay high in your obedience and patience. Stay high in prayer and praise. Stay high in purpose and self-control. Stay high in truth and worship. Go high when they try to do you harm. Go high when they hate your praise. Go high when problems come your way. Go high when people try to rob you of your joy. Because it does not yet appear what you shall be, but you'll never get to where God wants you to be when you spend your life responding to haters and going low when God gives you the power to go high and stay high. And all the people of God say, amen. Come on, give God some praise today. Father, we thank you and bless you for today. I pray now that the word that has gone forth, the incorruptible word of God, that it has found good soil in our hearts and minds, that we would be more than just hearers, that we would be doers as well. We ask you to bless now as only you can. It's in Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. 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 Everybody who can, stand on your feet. I'm going to ask Dr. Rose to come and give us our invitation to discipleship. But let me just speak a moment for those of you who are watching on the digital platform. There's a QR code that's coming up on the screen that you can use to respond to today's message, to say yes to God, yes in terms of salvation, yes in terms of sanctification. And there's also a group of people who are in the chat waiting for you on whatever platform you are on. They're gladiators. They're there to greet you, love you, give you direction, and give you guidance. And there's a QR code on the screen for them as well. If you'd like somebody to pray with you right now, somebody may say, Pastor, what do you mean pray with me? They are there right now, and if you put it in the chat during this Sunday morning service or after service, they will be there, and they'll bring you into a Zoom room and pray with you privately. Maybe somebody has taken you so low, you don't know how to go high now. You don't know how to get up. They'll pray with you and pray for you and give you some godly counsel on how to do that today. But as Dr. Rose comes to give us this invitation, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to God. Preaching always deserves a response. And whether that response is physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual, a response should be had.
We want to invite you to embrace the free gift of everlasting life. It cannot be earned, and it's only by the blood of Christ. No matter how far you missed the mark, there is hope for you. There is deliverance for you, and there is peace that surpasses all understanding that you can enjoy in the here and now. Some of y'all have been down for a long time. You've been low for a long time. And life has brought you to your knees. Circumstances have broken your heart. Situations have drained your spirit. And you may sense a sense of hopelessness and despair. But there is hope for you. And you can have life and have it in abundance. If you only just profess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and he died for your sins, and he rose so that you may live in abundance, you will be saved. So is anyone today or at that place where you're uncertain, or at that place where you feel unworthy, or you reach the point where you just want to throw in the towel? We ask that you come forth now as a choir. As the music plays, we invite you to come now. Will you please come? And these handsome young men and young lady here, we rejoice with you. Not just them, but the whole church rejoice. So will you please come? To my left, to my right, in the middle, up or down, we invite you to come now. Is there anyone? Well, let me tell you a story while you're thinking about it. There was a man who died, and he stood at heaven's gate. And an angel was there and said, "You need 100 points to come into heaven." So the man said, "Okay, I go to church every Sunday." He said, "Well, that's 1 point." "One point?" He said, "Well, I volunteer at the food pantry at Good Hope. That's a half a point." "I had 1.5 points. He said, "Well, I give to the homeless." "Well, that's 2 points. He said, "Man, at this rate, I'll never get into heaven. The only way I get into heaven is by the grace of God." "Well, you got it. That's 100 points. Come on in." Amen. You can't earn heaven. Christ died because of our wretchedness. Listen, nothing we can do can separate us from the love of God. So no matter how bad we missed it, you and I, no matter how bad we've blown it in life, we all have regrets, but we'll never be beyond the love and the reach of God. So I want to invite you to come now. I want to invite you to come, and we're going to rejoice with you. Just come and profess with your mouth that you believe in the blood of Christ, and he died for your sins, and you shall be saved. And listen, y'all, and you become a part of this family. Listen, we're going to rejoice with you, and we're going to lock arms with you, not just give you a scripture and send you home. No, we're going to put our arms around you as a church and love on you and walk you step by step through the process of restoration and healing so that you and I can become all that God will have us to be together. So last time, will you come? Anyone?
All for Christ to you, oh my brother.
Will you come?
To you, oh my sister.
Up or down, right or left, in the middle. We're here for you. Amen. Let's rejoice, church. Make some noise. Amen.
Oh, come.
Amen. Thank you, brother and sister and family.